So the title of the sermon is Worship Yahweh, the God of all the earth. Worship Yahweh, and Yahweh is the covenantal name of God, which simply means I am who I am, and it also means I will show you, I will reveal myself to be who I am by what I do. My deeds will show who I am. And I could ask several questions to start, but the first one is, who should worship and serve Yahweh God? Who is required to worship and serve God? And the second is, what does that worship and service look like? What does that worship and service look like? Our texts for this morning, our central text, we'll be reading other scriptures, are Romans 1:25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And I'm reading out of the Legacy Standard Bible this morning. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And you'll realize that there's actually only two religions in the world. One is worshiping the creature. The other is worshiping the creator. Every false religion is worship of some creaturely thing. And in Acts 17:30, the last part of 30 and the first part of 31, it says, God is now commanding men everyone everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. The main truth, you'll have it in your bulletins there as well, is we can either worship Yahweh, the creator of all things, or a part of his creation. And Yahweh commands all men everywhere to repent and serve only him. We must proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God, to turn people from idolatry to the only true God. And as we start this morning, I just want you to be thinking. We're going to be looking at what happens in Bolivia, some of their religious beliefs and practices. And then we're going to be thinking about Canada and what are religions in Canada. And it is interesting that as we start to think about this, in North America, in the Western world especially, we've decided that your religion is over here, and your life, during the week especially, is over here. So you can be Christian on Sundays, and you can be secular during the week. And the question does that come from God's Word? Well, the answer is obviously no. But you do, if you would actually look historically at how this is, it actually... historically in Bolivia, and we're going to watch a couple of things that show exactly this, people have understood that worshiping encompasses all of life. That we are actually worshiping being. We will worship all of our life. Every day we are showing by our deeds, by our thoughts, by our actions, who is our God. And you know, we lived in Venezuela for a few years in a remote tribal location where we saw indigenous people there. And they understood that their religious practices and their religious, the things they did, were central to everything, every part of life, every day. So their gods... and were a part of everything they practiced. And historically, people have understood that worshiping God or gods, false gods, is central to everything. Many Canadians, on the other hand, including many of us, believe that, like I just said, life has a religious part and a secular part. And if you listen to the media, they'll say faith leaders. Well, what are the faith leaders doing? Well, they're leading them in that part of their life that has to do with faith. And then you have real life, I guess, during the week for the rest of it. Bolivia and Bolivians, it is interesting to see the shift that is happening. And I'm actually going to talk about that because it directly affects the people in our church. Bolivians historically understood that all of life was related to their religious beliefs, their worshiping beliefs. But now they are starting to move away from that as well and saying, well, we have a religious part, or, you know, you want to go to church on Sunday? That's your business. But don't bring that here to school. Don't bring that to your job. We do things differently here. So as we just ponder these things, is there any culture, I can ask, any culture anywhere in the world that is neutral towards Yahweh, the only true God? Are there any Canadians, for example, any Bolivians, or from anywhere else, that would say, well, I'm neutral, you know, you can have your God, I don't have any God, and that's just the way it is. I can judge things in a neutral way, and we hear that all the time. The Bible would say there's no such thing. There is no neutral person. And then as Christians, for believers in Christ, the question is, what is Christ Lord of? Is he Lord only of Sunday for us? Or maybe 30 minutes in the morning every day that we give him, and then the rest of the time belongs to us? But then you can go on beyond that, and you can ask the question what I started with. Who is commanded to worship Yahweh? And that means everybody. Christ is actually Lord of all, as we were singing. He's Lord of all. He's not just Lord of the Christians. Not just Lord of Sunday. Not just Lord of 30 minutes in the morning. He's Lord of all. And he's Lord of all the non-believers as well. I'm going to just read a few verses from Romans 1. Romans 1, Romans 2, and then it says in Romans 1:18 and following, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, both his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, and here this passage is talking about pagans, or people that do not have the written word of God. That's who he's talking about. Even though they knew God, how did they know God? Through creation. Because God had put it in them. Even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. What are pagans commanded to do? What is everyone commanded to do? These are people without the word. Remember, they are commanded and told to worship him as God. Or give thanks. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the likeness of corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And if you want to keep on reading, it talks about what God gave them over, more things that God gave them over to. And if you want to ask a simple question, why is what is happening in Canada right now with regards to all the sexual perversity going on? Here's the answer. The answer is God has given us, our culture, over to impurity, to dishonor the bodies that he's given us, because we have rejected him. Romans 2, verse 1. Romans 2 is talking about the Jews. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, everyone who passes judgment. For you, in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And the Jews had an attitude that we have the law, that is the word of God, we have circumcision, and we're God's chosen people. So we made it. But Paul is saying, you judge, you know those things are wrong, all the sins listed in the end of verse chapter 1. But you do the same things. And Romans 2 goes and explains. And we could say, if we want to classify this, this would be the people sitting in churches today, in a general sense. Verse 2, and we know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things, but do you presume this, O man, who passes judgment on those who practice such things? And does the same that you will escape the judgment of God. And again, this is all summed up in Romans 3, where it says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. And if you want to say that those who have the scripture, those that don't have the scripture, there's none righteous. There's no one that actually seeks God. And that's our condition before Yahweh, the only true and living God. So I want to talk about a little bit about Bolivia. Bolivia's false religions. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Canada. And then what does God call us to be and to do? So Bolivia's religion at this time, and we're going to see some of the things that we've been talking about, is the worship of the Pachamama. And Pachamama is Mother Earth. Pacha means mother, and Mama means mother. Sorry, Pacha means earth, and Mama means mother, which has been syncretized. So that's the worship of Mother Earth, and it's been syncretized with the worship of the Virgin Mary, because when the Spanish conquerors went down there, they imposed the Roman Catholic religion. I'm going to read a little bit from a website called Casarita Info. And it says, the Pachamama is the highest divinity of the Andean people, since she is concerned with fertility, plenty, the feminine generosity, and ripening crops, besides providing protection. Now, as you listen, think about all the things that it's talking about that the true God actually does. So they put their deities in the place of the true God. The name of Pachamama is translated into English as Mother Earth, as I've already explained. And in both Quechua and Aymara, the earth or cosmos and mother. The concept of Pachamama is directly related to agricultural wealth, since the economy of the indigenous people is based on agricultural production. Nevertheless, most of the population in Bolivian cities, that is including Cochabamba where we live and the other big cities, is indigenous, mainly Aymara and Quechua, including as regards to their customs and so their beliefs are still common in the modern society. And it is really interesting to see how the new generations, in a real sense, are abandoning a lot of these things, the younger generations. So we're going to just watch a short video right now that talks about Pachamama, and then I'll continue. This is the day of the Pachamama. And the community, indigenous community. Pachamama means Mother Earth.
First of all, we thank Pachamama, the Mother Earth, for health, for life she gives us, for the well-being of the family, so that it goes well with us all year long, that we would have health, that we'd have work, and those are the most important things for the family. And then for other material things that we need. But first of all, it is a thanksgiving to the Pachamama for being here and for giving life, us life with the family. And this is an embryo of yama, which they offer as a sacrifice. In the month of August, the Mother Earth, Pachamama, is open to receive our offerings. It's for our business, our work, for our health, and for our construction, all of our desires, that they would be fulfilled with all of our faith. Today is August 1st, and we're bringing an offering with all of our will that this truck, for example, that nothing bad would happen, and that it works well.
So that's just a very short video about a little bit about the worship of Pachamama, Mother Earth. What they were spraying was alcoholic drinks. So and that was a drink offering to Mother Earth. And that was to bless whatever they're spraying it on, basically. And they'll spray that on their business, on their vehicles, because a lot of them use, as you saw, those trucks for their businesses. Obviously, there's been some changes, and you might have caught it, you might not have caught it, but in that video, there's a statue that just passed by that supposed to represent Christ. So this video is about the Pachamama, which is Mother Earth. But there in the middle of the video, that they had was a statue that supposedly represents Jesus Christ. And so you ask the question, well, where did that come from? What is Christ have to do with Pachamama? Well, in reality, nothing, right? Christ is the creator of the earth, but Pachamama is a false deity. So the same article I was reading from before says, however, there have been some changes in there have been some changes as the Catholic faith has become more prevalent. In some ceremonies, the Pachamama is worshipped through the Virgin. This syncretism, syncretism just means the blending of two different religions, can be clearly seen in different forms of art that they have, and even as what you just saw, that video. Worshippers venerate the Pachamama with offerings through rituals like the chaya. So that spraying of the alcohol that's one of the things they regularly do, and it's called the chaya. Likewise, it is very common for the Pachamama to receive the first serving of beer at their social gatherings, since believers in the Pachamama pour a few drops on the ground before they take their first sips. This is a way to thank and feed the Pachamama. And so that is an integral part of their life. That's just, it's common, and it's, they don't even think about whether they should do it or shouldn't do it. That's just part of life. In the Andean culture, the Pachamama is the goddess who protects all material goods, and at the same time rules over the spiritual universe. Therefore, she symbolizes the human environment in every aspect, so that those who believe in her will maintain a balanced, reciprocal relationship with her. Now we're going to watch another video that shows the Virgin Mary. And so now we have the Pachamama on the one side, and now we have the worship of the Virgin Mary, supposedly the Virgin Mary, that which is also very common.
The place is Via El Libertador, and the celebration is growing to the Virgin of Urcupiña. This Virgin, my brother-in-law has brought more than 30 years ago. At the beginning of this, this was a small celebration, but it has grown to be a celebration for people from all over the place. Year after year, it keeps on growing. The next day, the images are carried through the streets. At this time, we are celebrating the Day of Virgin Mary in the Bolivian celebration of Urcupiña. We've already had the Mass, and we are continuing with the procession. We are in the zone, or the area of Via El Libertador, where you can see there are a lot of people. This is the Virgin of Abundance. Because of this, we have these bills. And what do they mean? They mean we are asking the Virgin for work and for just wages for our work. Above all, the Virgin gives us health. If we don't have health, we don't have work. For this, above all, it is a time of thanksgiving.
That's obviously just a very short clip. That's a celebration that happens every year, not very far away from where we live. And so that's, they carry their virgins. And it is interesting when you actually watch that. Who's carrying who? The people are carrying their false gods. In the Bible, it says, for example, in Isaiah 46, Yahweh carries his people. Yahweh cares for his people. And as people, we make these gods, these false gods, and we're the ones that have to care for them and protect them. Whereas the Bible says, Yahweh cares for and protects us. And there's many things that go on. So as the culture has basically blended those two religions. And so sometimes it's confusing. Well, what's going on here? Are they worshiping the Mother Earth or the Virgin Mary or both? Or, you know, but that is the culture of Bolivia. And so our church in Bolivia, it's called Iglesia Biblica El Yon, which means the Bible Church of the Most High God. El Yon is a Hebrew term, which means Most High. And our church is made up of people from different places. Some of them are converted Catholics. The parents of one of our elders have come out of very entrenched Catholic families. And so, and others as well. And so that's very real to them. And many times, when you convert to Christ, you're saying to your family, you're rejecting your family. You're rejecting your parents and how they raised you. You're rejecting the culture. And the question is, well, is that good? God says to honor our parents, to love our families. But you have to ask the question, what does God call us first? It's first to worship and serve Him. And then you ask the question, worship and serving God will manifest itself, it will, in love to your parents and your family. And how does that flesh itself out? And so our church is from different backgrounds. As I mentioned already, the elders are maturing in the Lord, and they are really taking seriously the care of the flock. And we talk about, obviously, the cultural things. Things come up with young people in university or school, religious practices, just like they're doing here in Canada now with regards to celebrating the pride, right, what they call pride, pride and evil. They're commanding all men in Canada to celebrate evil. That's been happening in Bolivia with regards to a lot of these religious practices. And so you go to university, and you might one of your assignments might be to do either to participate in one of these practices, and you'll be graded for it. And if you decide you don't want to participate, well, you may very well get zero or fail. And so that's a very real issue for them. Our church also has many other challenges. And in Bolivia, and this is where Canada is moving, but Bolivia is not built on the foundation of trust and work ethic. And as Western nations that have benefited from the Reformation and the teaching of the scriptures, we had a real work ethic and honesty and integrity built into the culture itself. But Bolivia doesn't have that. And so because of that, unethical practices in work are very common. A bank or business will have two sets of books. One set of books for their accounting, for the government, and one set for them. And obviously, that just runs through everything. If you're not going to participate, well, you know what? You're not welcome to work here. So to be a Christian, many times, you're called to, well, what do you do then? How do you live ethically in that culture? University challenges. Now, this is where I'll just mention briefly how the culture is changing. Now, you may have heard of inclusive languages, and this is going to lead us into Canada, but we're not quite there yet, but this is going to lead us into where we're at in Canada. Inclusive language. We had a young lady who's a member of our church. She sent me a survey to do that she had made in her university with her professor there. And the survey was about inclusive language. And basically, inclusive language is, you know, you will use the pronoun that the person tells you to use about for themselves, regardless of whether it's true or not. So if a young lady says to me, I'm a him, or a they, or a whatever, I have to say that. That's what inclusive language basically means. And so she gave me this survey, and as I read through it, it was really interesting. The survey was written in such a way as it basically took for granted that this was good. So it says, one of the questions was, where is it best to use inclusive language? At home, you know, at school and university with your friends, and it didn't have the option, nowhere. And so I wrote to the young lady, and I said, I can't fill out your survey. There was four questions like that out of about 12, but all the questions were slanted in that direction. And this is what they're being taught now, and this is obviously, that's not what Bolivians, the older generation would believe in. And probably if you would go to the rural areas of Bolivia, you would be at least ostracized or possibly even killed if you would try to practice some of those things, because they believe more what is historically men and women, how God made us. God made us male and female. And so, and even if you ask the question, well, would the government believe that? And the answer would be no. But now you have university professors that truly do believe that, and they're teaching it to their young people. And the next generation will be doing that as well. And so the question is, a new religious belief has come in, which basically is every man for himself. What was it that happened in the early church? Well, the Roman emperor basically said, you know what? You can have your religion. You do whatever you want to do, as long as you say, Caesar is Lord, and give a pinch of incense to Caesar. But then the rest of the year, you do whatever you want. It's fine. And both Bolivia and Canada says, you know what, you have your religion over there. That's fine. No problem. But you can't tell anyone else you're wrong. As we move on to what's happening in Canada, and this again, I'll just mention one other thing, and this is moving us into Canada as well. The youth, both in Bolivia, what I'm seeing, and in Canada, many youth are very aimless, without meaning or direction. It's like, well, what am I here for? And if you believe what the world tells you, well, you're just here to fulfill whatever desire you might have in that moment. But God created us for a purpose. God created us to obviously worship and love Him and find meaning and fulfillment in that. What are Canada's false religions? Well, we could say selfish happiness, as well as the inclusivity, to say that, which excludes the only true God. So if I say there's only one true God, and He actually tells us who we are, what we're to do, what we're to be, and how we can be in relationship with Him, and that there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, then I don't fit in their inclusive package. Canadian religion, in the past, especially, it was work for wealth, fame, or the American dream, right? Now, we're moving into more, you know, whatever makes me happy in the moment. Drugs, money, power, or demanding that others bow to me is what I just said in the inclusive language. And I define what gender I am, and I demand that others... You know, if I decide right now I'm a woman, you guys all have to say I'm a woman. If I say in the next 5 minutes I'm something else, well, you got to do that. And that's where we're heading. If I say I'm a cat, right, they have their furries in school. Like, we're not living in reality anymore. And the question is, who defines this? Does each man define his own reality? But it is interesting that when we step out onto the street, and if we want to define our own reality, we're quickly brought back to this is God's world. Because if I step in front of a large truck that's moving fast along the highway, there is something that inevitably will happen to me. And that's not because I'm deciding my own reality. This is God's world. Canada's religion is this inclusivity, which excludes the only true God. Every type, and it is sad to see the acceleration of the sexual perversity that is happening these days, and also how that's going to other countries as well, like Bolivia. How that's being exported by force to other countries. Every type of perversity, and if we would go back to Romans 1, you can read it. It's all right there. And why is it? Because we've rejected the only true God. Canada was built on the verse, I believe it's Psalm 72:8, and He shall have dominion from sea to sea. And who's He? It's God. God will have dominion from sea to sea. and the true worship of God, we have two exclusive religions now happening in Canada. One is what we're being told to worship, which every man for himself, or we have what God says. Every man worship him and bow to him. The new Canadian religion, it is interesting to also see different parallels. In those videos that I showed you about both Pachamama and the Virgin Mary, what were they asking the Pachamama and the Virgin Mary for? Well, protection, crops, provision, and different things like that, right? What we need to live and be sustained. If we look at Canada, who is the one that people look to sustain them, to keep them? It's the government. The government is who tells us what education is. The government is the one that we look to for health care, social welfare, the care of the elderly, everything. And if you look at other cultures and other areas of the world, if you look at the Korea, North Korea, the Chinese Communist Party, what do they set themselves up as before the people? I was watching a video of North Korea and a religious practice there for the leader there. And it was definitely worship. The party sets itself up as God. We are the exclusive God of this people. And that's where we're headed in Canada. But God says, Yahweh says, I am the only true God. I'm the only one who saves, who provides, and protects. And if you go through all the different things that are happening in Canada, it is interesting to see as you move further and further away from our roots, the Reformation roots that we would have here, the destruction that is happening all around us. In education, we're being told, we're not given education anymore, we're given indoctrination into a religious mindset. And education, according to the Lord, according to the Bible, is the fear, it starts with the fear of the Lord. If we don't fear the Lord, we're not being educated. And as Romans 1 says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's where we're headed. That's where Bolivia has been with their false religions. That's where they're headed with a new religion that's coming down from Western nations. It's not towards the true God. And if we look through the scriptures, we see that over and over and over, Yahweh says, I am the one that you should look to. I am the one that gives to you. I am the one that protects you. I am the one that cares for you. And man in his sinfulness always looks to worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. And that is what each one of us does by our nature. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, actually I'll read Jeremiah 17:5. You can and then turn to Isaiah 40. Jeremiah 17:5, thus says Yahweh, cursed is a man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from Yahweh. Cursed is the man, and we could ask the question, well, which man? And if you look through all of Scripture, you'd say, well, any man. Any man, anywhere, that would say, Yahweh is not my God. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Isaiah 40, verse 18 and on. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? As for graven images, which we saw with what you are looking at with the Virgin Mary, those dolls that they have to continually upkeep. Graven images, a craftsman crafts it. A goldsmith plates it with gold. A silversmith fashions chains of silver. He who is too impoverished to make such a contribution chooses the tree that does not rot. He seeks out for himself a wise craftsman to prepare a graven image that will not be shaken. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who inhabits the above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to inhabit. It is he, Yahweh, who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth utterly formless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely have their stem taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them, and they wither. The storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One. And if you look through history, all the great empires of the past, those kings and rulers who set themselves up as God, they're gone. But Yahweh remains. Continuing into the third point there, worship Yahweh, the true God. God commands everyone on earth to turn to him in faith and repentance, to worship and serve him. And this is because in ourselves we do what Romans 1, 2, and 3 says. There's none righteous, no one, no not one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. And as man looks for different ways to avoid the true God, they always come back to the fact that this is his world. God has shown himself to us. And God is commanding everyone on earth to turn to him in faith and repentance. And who does that include? Well, it includes obviously everyone here this morning. If there's unbelievers here that have not turned to Christ in faith and repentance, God is commanding you today to repent. It refers to our neighbors, to our families. It refers to the rich people who think that all their wealth will sustain them through whatever that comes. It refers to all the politicians. It refers to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. God commands him, first to President Biden, every political leader, to repent and worship him. There's no one that is outside the lordship of Christ and the call of Jesus Christ to repent and believe the gospel. And remember, when we talk about worship, is worship only what we do? When I say worship Yahweh, the true God, is that only what we do Sunday? Or maybe Wednesday night, and like I said, in the mornings, half an hour? We've already touched on this briefly. Worship, we don't have a religious part of our life and a secular part of our life. We are, by nature, worshiping beings. We will worship. Whether it's our own pleasures, false gods, or the true God, we will worship. And today you could say, well, video games would be a big one in Canada today. And there's drugs and all kinds of immorality. And the question is, does God have anything to say about all those things? And the answer obviously is yes. In Bolivia, one of the struggles that one gentleman is having is, he loves soccer, and he's in that world. He's a seamstress, or seamster, I'm not sure what the word is actually, a person that sews, and he makes soccer uniforms, and all kinds of different things. He makes other clothing items too, but he's in that world. He's taken courses to be a soccer coach, and that sucks up his time and his energy. And it's kind of like, well, you know, whether I get to church, whether I meet with the believers, I might not. Sometimes he really exerts an effort, and then for a month or two or three or four, he doesn't. So he'll show up once in a while. Sometimes he's interested in spiritually nourishing his family. Other times he isn't, because he's being consumed with the world. This young lady that I mentioned and sent the survey, that's going to university about inclusive language, she's being pulled into that world. She's being pulled into the main street. That's where her friends are. That's where, you know, it's just weird. It's to think that we should just worship God and that he should influence everything we do. That's what a lot of young people think, because the world tells us, well, you can have your God over there, but don't bring him here. And Bolivians are starting to think that way as well. And as Christians, we should and we must, and we are starting to ask questions like, does worship of God have anything to do with education? And as I mentioned, I actually taught a study on the Lordship of Christ this year in the church in Three Hills. And it was interesting. A question came to my mind as we were looking through these issues. What is education according to the Bible? Education, when you ask anybody in the street here, they'll say, well, it's going to university and getting information or skills so that you can get a job. Education in the Bible starts with and is foundationally fearing God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, is the beginning of understanding. And if we don't have that, so the question is, does worship of God include education? Well, of course it does. And you can see where that's going now with gender ideology. When you disconnect that this is God's world and he has made us in a certain world way, male and female, how does that work? You're not living in reality anymore. And what does the worship of the true God involve? Well, it's to understand that this is God's world. And even helping, especially children that are being confused by this, to say, God made you good. God made you as a male, a boy, or a girl. And it's good. And God made you for a purpose, to worship and serve him as he made you. And that's where you're going to find fulfillment. You're going to find joy in life by knowing God and living according to how he has made you. Does God have anything to do with health care? Does our worship of God have anything to do with health? It is interesting in the Old Testament, I'll just mention one passage, it says that one of the kings went to all the doctors to seek help for all his health care needs, or it was one need he had, but he did not seek Yahweh. And obviously the medical, seeking help from doctors is not bad. But where's our trust? Where do we look to? He showed by his actions that God was not the center of his life. And when we talk about worshiping Yahweh, we're not talking about, well, we're going to have all these priorities. God's up here, so we're going to give him 3 hours a day, and then family, so we're going to give it, you know, 2 hours a day, and then work and all it's not like that. The worship of Yahweh is, as we've said before, the center of all things. Everything that we do and are is related to that. Does God have anything to do with our work? our fun, our diversion, our family. And when you start asking these questions, the answers are actually pretty obvious. But then you have to ask, well, what does that mean for me as a family? Having family devotions, praying together, in work, not practicing unethical work practices. In society, not bowing to gender ideology today, but saying this is God's world. God made things good. And he calls you to celebrate what he has made, not celebrate pride of evil. Is Christ Lord of all? God is now commanding men that everyone, everywhere, should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. When it says world there, who is it referring to? It's referring to everybody. It's referring to Pharaoh, who said when Moses came to him, "Who is Yahweh? I don't know Yahweh, and I won't let his people go." That Pharaoh is under God's judgment. Every person, whether they're have a high status or low, will face that judgment. And God has called us to preach the gospel into the darkness of that world, whether it be here or whether it be where we are in Bolivia. As it says in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. That is, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed of God, what he says, that it's only through Jesus Christ that we can be reconciled to him. And when that touches our lives, personally, what does that look like? Well, it looks like some of the examples I've given. This young lady in the university, she should have said, "No, I'm not going to do this survey like this." I told her, "You know what, the survey you're doing, about inclusive language, again, going back to that example, the survey you're doing is not going to give a fair representation because we can't give honest answers." If she wanted a truthful survey, she had to give truthful questions. But her questions weren't truthful, weren't based in reality. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 and 10 says, "For they themselves report about us what kind of an entrance we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols." You turned to God from idols, and then it says something very interesting. To serve and a living and true God. You turn to God to serve him. Our worship, and it is worship and service go together. Worship and service go together. As it says in Romans 1:25, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator." We will worship. Whoever we serve, that's who we're worshiping. If you want to know who you're worshiping, ask yourself, what am I serving? Who am I serving? Am I serving my own desires and thoughts or other people? Or am I serving God? And the way you know you're serving God is because you're living truthfully in God's world. Worship is what we do every day of each day of our lives. In the Old Testament, they had all the sacrifices, all the things they did over and over again, and that was to show that God, Yahweh, was the center of their life. Now, We have the finished sacrifice of Christ, but we worship God by taking His light every day into the world. And it says in many different pages, in Matthew 5:16, for example, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That they may see your good works, Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And who defines what those good works are? It's God. God, in His Word, defines that. We don't define that. The government doesn't define that. Education doesn't define that, the education system. God defines it. God defines what is good and what is evil. And worshiping God means that we say, what does God say about this? What does God say about that? And sometimes it is hard to figure different. There are, in a sense, gray areas that are difficult. But there are some things that are very, very clear. And usually it's the clear things that show where our heart really is. So the question for us is, have we submitted to Jesus Christ in repentance? Is our life characterized by worship and service to the only true God? Worshiping God is a life with God at the center. And you might think that because we're missionaries, we are perfect people, but we have the same struggles, same challenges, the same weaknesses that we all face. Our relationship with God as His children and His Word are foundational to everything we do and work or do and say. Everything belongs to Him, and we must submit to Him in worship and faith and call others, whoever they might be, it doesn't matter, to worship the true God. Yahweh is calling people from every nation to worship and serve Him from the heart. We're going to close by reading Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 to 12. Revelation 7, 9 to 12. "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. Palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels were standing around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. The blessing, the glory, the wisdom, and the thanksgiving, and the honor, and the power, and the strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of all the earth. There is only one true God. Yahweh is His name. You have revealed yourself to us through your word, through your deeds of creation, and through your acts of service or of salvation, your acts of judgment that we see over and over and over again in history. We know that our nations, our world, is under your judgment right now because we have rejected you. We pray for our churches. We pray for the church, Iglesia Biblica El Yon, that you would work, that we would continue to trust you, to look to your word, to understand that worship is all of our lives. Pray for the church here. Pray for the churches in Canada and other parts of the world, that we would also do these things and understand that the worship of you is not something we just do on Sunday, that we don't agree with the world, which says, you can have your religion, just don't bring it here. because we know that the worship of the one and only true God is all-encompassing. It's everything about us. Help us not to worship at their idolatrous ways, the idol of gender ideology as it's coming in now, of their own pleasures. We know that all those things end in destruction and death. But you have come that we might have life and have it to the full. Thank you for the gospel, which turns us from rebel sinners to those who worship and serve you, and pray that we would seek you, that your Spirit would continue to work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.